This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. And later on Building Bridges, killing of Nestle, Philippines union leader draws worldwide condemnation.
But first,
from death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. Lessons from Katrina, Rita, and beyond. With the passage of hurricanes Katrina and Rita and their grim, terrible aftermath come lessons that we all should heed. The winds and waters of nature have washed things up from the murky depths, things we may have not wanted to see, but which we cannot now ignore. Things about race, things about wealth, things about power, and things about national security. Years after 9/11, and after billions of bucks have been spread like mulch over spring's earth, we learned that national security is a political slogan. Empty words like war on poverty, or should I say war on terrorism. They're words spun by politicians, devised by their PR masters to soothe American anxieties like babies put to bed at night. For what is a nation if not its people? The tens and thousands of people, poor people, black and white, Latino and Vietnamese, who suffered through the floodings, the hunger, the dread, and despair, are they not part of the nation? If the responses of government is any indication, they are all but expendable. To the rulers, their only value is as cannon fodder. Who couldn't be but struck by George W. Bush's first post-Katrina comments about oil supplies? What can we learn from the comments of Barbara Bush, who, referring to the beleaguered evacuees at the Astrodome, said, "So many of the people in the arena here, you know, were underprivileged anyway, so this is working well for them." When I read her comments, it seemed an echo of the French Empress, Marie Antoinette, who, hearing of the French people starving for bread, replied, "Let them eat cake. The rich, it's been said, aren't like you and me." A private intelligence firm headquartered in Louisiana likened Katrina to a nuclear bomb blast without the death. That's because after its coming, a city was gone. From Rita, we learn what evacuation entails. If people are stuck virtually motionless for 10 hours on a highway, running out of gas while the car essentially idles and the air conditioning blows, and are still within city limits, can we really call that an evacuation? If a nuclear bomb blast did strike, say, Houston or Beaumont, Texas, the road out would have been little more than a death trap, similar to the highway of death that spelled the last tortured minutes of retreating Iraqi troops during the first Gulf War. Americans are fierce individualists who look at their neighbors with envy and ill-disguised suspicion. Their love affairs with their cars and the gas-guzzling culture that has grown up around it makes them more, not less, vulnerable. For the poor, there isn't even mass transit. There is no transit. People are taxed and taxed and taxed again. And when the government fails to protect their lives, health, and property, they ask for donations. Has the last few disasters made you feel more or less safe? If you heard that FEMA or the Department of Homeland Security had plans in place for your city, would you really believe it? Have these last few disasters deepened or shattered your faith in government? It's time for questions. It's time for answers. Do you really trust those people who speak in your name when they intone the American people? Don't you long for something else, something better? Well, what's really stopping you from working to build a better, more human, saner way? Nothing but you. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
Saan mang sulok ng bayan, bandilang pula ay winawagayway, ng uring manggagaawa, ang hukbong mapagpalaya, taglay ang diwang palaban, handang magtanggol saan mang labanan, hanggat may uring nagsasamantala, patuloy ang ating pahalaman.
sigaw sa pabrika sa layon at kalunsuran. Ilusang Mayo ulo ay lumalaban sa Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao. Gumadagundong ang mga sigaw sa pabrika sa layon at kalunsuran. Ilusang Mayo ulo ay lumalaban sa bawat pagkilos at pagpapasya.
We head to the Philippines. Killing of Nestle Philippines union leader draws worldwide condemnation. We speak with Elma Labog, head of the May 1st movement, the KMU, in the Philippines.
La Forte Fortuna, president of the United Filipino Workers Union, the workers' union of Nestle, was shot dead on September 22nd by unidentified assailants. Fortuna's murder is the most recent in a series of politically motivated killings. The Philippines is in a state of undeclared martial law, with members of progressive people's organizations being targets of state terrorism.
Well, as I said, 11 days ago, Diosdado Cafort Fortuna, president of the United Filipino Workers Union of the Nestle factory, was brutally murdered by unknown assailants. We are about to find out more about that assassination. I should also say his predecessor, Militon Roxas, was also murdered right on the picket line in 1988. And we welcome Elma Labog. Elma?
Good morning. And good morning to the American listeners of Building Bridges.
Thank you so much. Tell us about the assassination and more about the history of the workers' struggle at Nestle Philippines.
The assassination took place in September 22. Cafort, or Jing Fortuna, came from a meeting of his one of the federations in southern Tagalog called the Olalia. And after the meeting, he went to the Nestle picket line, we now call the Nestle garrison. And from there, he received a text message asking him to go home for a while because his grandson was sick. So he was a bit careless about his security. So he went hurriedly home without any body coming along with him. And a few meters away from his house, he was shot at close range, about half a meter, by two guys riding in a motorcycle right behind him, and he was shot with a .45 caliber double action bullet, and he was according to the doctors, he was dead on arrival when he arrived at the Calamba City hospital. The strike at the Nestle is there for about 3 years and 8 months now. And one interesting fact that I would like to mention is that in September 2003, Mrs. Arroyo had made the pronouncement in one of the programs in Santa Cruz, Laguna. This is the capital town of Laguna, comparing the striking workers to criminal elements. And I quote that she said in September 2003, that let us fight against criminals, drug lords, gambling lords, and those who terrorize factories that create jobs. And you will take note that this is the exact date when Cafort was gunned down after that declaration. Cafort is the chair of the region-wide organization called the Pamantik. He is one of the top officers of the KMU, being the chairman of the Southern Tagalog chapter of KMU. He is also the chairperson of the Anakpawis party list in that region. He is president of the United Union of Filipino Employees Drug and Food Alliance. And I think one of the things that the government, as well as the capitalists, would be against him is that this region has the most number of strikes, and these strikes would have long durations. So one of them is the Nestle, and another is the RFM Swift. This place is also home to strikes of Nissan, Toyota, and a lot of Japanese companies. So you will take note that aside from the struggle for higher wages, assurance of being in or the job security, and the assertion of democratic rights, the PNU leads the struggle for the resignation and ouster of Mrs. Arroyo. And Ford is one of those actively campaigning for the ouster of Mrs. Arroyo, not only in that region, but also they used to come to Manila to hold rallies and demonstrations.
I understand that there's been an increase in political violence against progressive unionists, other people in the progressive movement in the Philippines. And from what you said, President Arroyo is setting the stage for this. Do you have any idea where this is? This paramilitary groups that are doing this? What do you know about these killings?
Yeah, we just had the International Solidarity Mission in August, and a lot of the guests from various countries went to the different regions, and they have observed for themselves that a lot of the attacks are being unleashed against leaders of progressive party-list organizations and other mass organizations who are actively campaigning for the respect of democratic rights. It is a thing now that things are going, the killings perhaps are already surpassing those that have been happened during martial law, especially now that there is a great struggle really to call for the resignation, if not ouster, of Mrs. Arroyo. Only a day after we have buried the Tafort, another leader of the ANU, named Maria Victoria Samonte, she is the vice chairperson of the Northern Mindanao region, was again killed. She was stabbed many times while she was on her way back home. She is also the president of the Don Andres Soriano College. It is becoming a pattern. The people, just yesterday again, there were abductions in Negros Occidental and Gimba town in Nueva Ecija. One of the leaders of the Anak Paus party was gunned down, and another was reported to have been kidnapped. So despite these things, the government is also bent at passing another anti-terrorist bill, which is patterned with that of the U.S. Patriot Act. And there are a lot of death squads looming not only in the far-flung regions of the country, but even in regions nearby Metro Manila. A few weeks ago, a very young vendor was also gunned down in one of the suburbs of Manila just because they were asserting the right to sell their wares in the place which we call Aguig. So the culture of violence perpetrated by the government is the culture now prevailing in the country. So we are very cautious about our movement. We are asserting a right to do demonstrations in many cities of the country despite the prohibitions being imposed upon us, especially with the imposition of the Marcosian laws such as the no strike, no permit, no demonstration, no strike policy of the government. Now they're trying to emasculate the rights of the workers as well as the Filipino people fight and make the right fighter by passing the calibrated preemptive response policy against various protest actions in being carried out by various mass organizations. Also, the government had passed Executive Order 464 banning government officials to appear in congressional hearings. This was because one General Mitani was a witness to the to his observation that during the election, First Gentleman Mike Arroyo had carried along with him 500 million pesos in a plane. So as a result of this, the government passed this order. So a lot of things are really happening to discourage dissent, especially that are critical of the present government. so that we would like to call the attention of the international community on the things that are prevailing now in the Philippines, especially the unrelenting killing of the various critics of the Arroyo government. We still have to find justice for the seven massacre victims of the Hacienda Luisita massacre victims, and despite these things, a lot of killings are already occurring in our ranks.
We are speaking with Elma Labag, who is the chairman of the May 1st movement, the KMU in the Philippines. And we want to just go back to the Nestle strike. If you could just clarify what the demands of the workers are and what it has been like these past days at the Nestle picket line, particularly subsequent to the murder of Cafort.
Yeah, very... issue that caused the strike in the Nestle factory is that management would not recognize the right of workers to avail of their retirement pay. So despite the decisions from the Supreme Court that the retirement pay of the workers in Nestle is a legitimate issue that should be taken at the collective bargaining negotiation, Nestle management in Cabuyao, Laguna, in the Philippines, would not butt into this decision of the court, and instead, as a requirement for the continuation of this collective bargaining negotiation, the union should drop the demand and their assertion that the retirement pay should be a part of the bargaining negotiation. Therefore, taking into account that the average number of years that workers in Nestle have served the company is about 20 years. Cafort, for instance, had served the company for 27 long years. So the strike broke out in 2001. So the striking workers are still right in front of Nestle, or just across the street, despite the 3 years and 8 months of being there, and it's indeed a very difficult experience for them, especially the kids of Nestle workers would drop out from school already because they would not have enough money to send their kids to school, and the while the other workers are manning the strike, the rest of the workers would find ways to earn and share this little amount to their co-workers. This is how tight the unity is at Nestle. And I think one of the projects where they would raise income to sustain their protest actions against Nestle is the sale of T-shirts that advertise the boycott of Nestle products. It is really a very worse situation when the kids would get sick with the astronomical cost of medicines. Then the striking workers would knock at the doors of the various mass organizations that are very supportive of their struggle. One of the things that we are now embarking on is to relaunch a serious campaign to boycott the various Nestle products in order to support the struggle of the Nestle striking workers. When we say the relaunching is within the active campaign to really boycott the Nestle products and to tell the world why we will have to do this until the management of Nestle would really sit down again with the striking workers, who number around 600. So as a result of the death of Cafort, a lot of the Filipino people, and I hope people worldwide who knew about the brutal and traitorous murder of Cafort would be very supportive. I've read an article in the Daily Inquirer in the Philippines that Ms. Jessica Lange has signed a petition denouncing the brutal and traitorous murder of Cafort, and the support of the boycott of Nestle products. And we're very happy about this development. The wife of Ka Ford is also very glad to hear that the death of his husband had not come to note. So we are very active in this struggle to really launch this boycott campaign after the traitorous slaying of Stafford.
In the remaining moment or so that we have left, in June and July, we thought that President Arroyo, who is alleged to have cheated in the 2004 elections, was about to be ousted. And quickly, like her predecessor, Estrada and Marcos, in 1986, she's still in power. Will she be around much longer?
Yeah, I'm confident she wouldn't finish her term, especially now that a lot of their people in various offices of government are resigning one after the other. Take note that General Gidani was a very close aide of the couple in Malacanang, but he stood in with his principle and exposed things that he knew about the cheating in the past election. The rule of Mrs. Arroyo is very abnormal in that she could not really rule very easily because she is left with defending her office and explaining a lot of things as they pass by. She's left with no option but to explain the scandals that are coming out day by day. So there are a lot of congressional investigations that are taking place now, both in the Senate of Representatives.
We were speaking with Elma Labog, who is the chairman of the KMU, the May 1st Movement in the Philippines. Boycott Nestle's. If you want to get more information, you can go to the website of the Network in Solidarity with the People of the Philippines, which is located in New York. And we encourage you to do that and to boycott Nestle's.
Handang magtanggol sa mang labanan hanggat may uling nagsasamantala patuloy ang ating pakikibaka sa Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao, Dumadabundo.
And this has been a Building Bridges, your Community and Labor Report special, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. And for more labor news and views, go to www.buildingbridgesradio.org. That's www.buildingbridgesradio.org for archived Building Bridges national labor shows.
Sa bawat pagkilos at pagpapasya, mulat ang isipan at nagkakaisa. Katapangan, disiplina sa pakikibaka, laging tatagayin hanggang lumaya. Kumilos mang gagawa, likain ang kasaysayan, mapagsamantala, durugin ang tuluyan. Kumilos mang gagawa, likain ang kasaysayan, mapagsamantala, durugin ang tuluyan. Kahit sa panahong kay dilim, landas ng paglaya laging lalakbayin, hanggang ang liwanag ay ating marating, bagong bukas ay sasalubungin. Sa Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao, dumadagundong ang mga sigaw, sa pabrika, sa nayon at kalunsuran, ilusang mayo ulo ay lumalaban. Sa Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao, dumadagundong ang mga sigaw, sa pabrika, sa nayon at kalunsuran, kilusang mayo ulo ay lumalaban, kilusang mayo ulo ay lumalaban.